This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, hello everybody and welcome along to the Blue Monday live stream post-match reaction for Ipswich Town 0, Northampton Town 0. Before we get into the action, Joe, how are you, my friend?
Yeah, amazing. Loving life. Just can barely contain my excitement after another amazing sort of Ipswich Town performance. Love and I follow. Unfortunately, I'd had a few beers, so I couldn't drive down to Portman Road to boo at the end of the game.
Right, let's get into this then. A very long night this evening. So it was a home game against 23rd in the table, Northampton, with currently a caretaker manager. We'll get into everything that's kind of happened this week, but we will go through the action in the game. There was a little bit of it, Joe. Let's just have a look at the teams. For Town tonight, Joe, Holly in goal, Matheson and Kenlock back in over Chambers and Ward, who didn't play at Peterborough last week. Sofa score, as usual, is not quite correct there. It was Flynn Downs sat in front of the back four. Andre Dizel to his right and Josh Harrop sort of to his left in the central midfield, with Luke Thomas wide right, Freddie Sears wide left, and Troy Parrott up the middle. So, Joe, five changes. Chambers, Ward, Judge, Bishop, Norwood out. Your thoughts on the team first and foremost?
I suppose you have to, rather than look at the Peterborough game, which seemed like we treated it like we were playing a different sport on a different pitch that time, so we made change there. It's only one change from the Blackpool game, where we decided to drop man of the match Alan Judge to replace him with Josh Harrop for that game. And like I say, I look at that, the first thing I see when I saw the team is five lone players starting there tonight. And well, like I say, what can you say?
It does feel like the end of the Paul Jewell era. Northampton pretty much matched up again. Sorry, that information's not correct on the screen, but there you go. SofaScore is going to reset itself midstream as well. It was for Northampton, Mitchell in goal. The back four's right, Kioso, Horsfall, Jones and Mills. It was McWilliams, the 17, was sat in front of the back four with Morris to his right. And then the number four, Sowerby, was to his left. Marshall, the 45 there, they've got, was playing down the right-hand side. Hoskins, the 7, wasn't playing 10. He was playing down the left. And Rose was playing down the middle. So pretty much, as Mick Mills said in the comments, matched up. And Joe, in the first half, all I've got is notes telling me chances for Northampton, basically. Sowerby got in behind on 17 and got a bit of a nosebleed. Marshall down the right-hand side, Wolfen kind of pokes it back. Hoskins shoots and Matheson makes a good block. That was on 32. They hit the post. I think Holly saves this, so it's actually quite a good save.
I think he gets a hand to that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's Kyoso underlapping. Sears sort of passes him on to Harrop, and he just runs off Harrop into the box. It's a really good shot, and I suppose it's quite a good save considering the surprise. And then a big Northampton counter just before half-time. Switch to Marshall. He's inside the box, puts it wide. Sowerby is in for a tap-in on the back post. Joe, Northampton were by far the better side in that first half, weren't they? And no real big chances, you know, as in without pressure on the shooter. But certainly they had the better of the chances purely on the basis that Ipswich did not create anything in the first half. Please keep your comments coming in, guys. We'll go to them in just a sec. Joe, the first half.
Dreadful. It was as poor a half as you've seen all season. Sort of maybe with the possible exception of where we absolutely shat the bed at Doncaster and conceded sort of two or three goals and just gave up there. But we were, considering this is a Northampton side that hasn't scored a goal in five games, that has lost, what, 9 of the last 12, that is second bottom, which is basically a League Two team in this league. They were the better side. And not by a little bit, by a long way. But for their inability, sort of the lack of quality they had when they got the ball right at the very top of the pitch, they'd have been 2 or 3 nil up. Luckily, the reason they can't score is because their sort of attacking players aren't that good at the end. Like I said, I was impressed with a right-sided player who's on loan from Luton. I can't remember his name. Deanne. Well, I don't know, the guy out on the right. But if they had any quality up front, they'd have been 2-0 up, and we were poor. We didn't look up for it. You go through the team, sort of Luke Wolfenden gave the ball away lots. Troy Parrott gave the ball away even more. And like I say, you wonder what. Like I say, these lone players came in and put in a decent performance against Blackpool 2 weeks ago, but Paul Lambert has infected them with Ipswich-itis over the last 2 weeks, and they are now being dragged down to our level.
It's a bit weird, Joe, because we were sort of chit-chatting in our WhatsApp group at half-time, and there was almost the sense that that Northampton kind of came and thought, oh, we'll sit in, we're away at Ipswich, and probably realised, hang on a minute, the game's there for the taking. And like you said, it was Sowerby, one of the sort of runners in midfield that got the two openings. And we were sort of saying at half time, Joe, well, what's going to happen now is they're going to go in and go, we can win this. They're going to overcommit and we're going to win in the second half. It evidently did not happen. Let's get into the second half, Joe, and then we can get a few more comments up on
the screen. Should take long to get through this one either, should it?
Well, apart from all the yellow cards, but we'll talk about that at the end. So McWilliams gets a yellow at the start of the second half. Paul Lambert's response to the first half being so poor is to move Freddie Sears from the left to the middle and Troy Parrott from the middle to the left. That was just about it. Northampton get in behind Joe. It's Sowerby, again, the central midfielder. He's just got no composure. He tries to cut it back. It sort of deflects to the seven, who is Hoskins. Couldn't find him. And then, as Mick Mills kind of rightly pointed out, 10 minutes after halftime, so you're kind of giving neither the three players that come on as much of a chance as the three players that go off. So we get Judge, Bishop and Lancaster on. Judge goes left. Lancaster goes right and Bishop goes in the middle for Thomas, Harrop and Sears. Northampton make a couple of changes. And then James Norwood comes on for Andre Dizel. And it sort of looks like Norwood's playing as a 9 and Parrott's just playing behind as a 10 with a double pivot of Bishop and Downs. And then we should take the lead, Joe, on 78. Judge was actually quite good when he comes in off the left, plays it in behind for Norwood. And this is the best chance of the game for either team, but straight at the keeper. What was your feelings on that Judge through to Norwood chance, Joe?
Well, I thought Judge has been playing quite well lately. And like I said, I think you just have to write off the Peterborough game because that was just such a awful game plan by Ipswich, and we just looked awful. But like, in the Blackpool game, Judge was our best player. He sort of was knitting it together. The game before that, he did well. And when he came on, him and Norwood seemed to have a decent sort of link up, and Judge is always looking for that run. Norwood is making that run, and like I say, they combined well, and like I say, that was probably the best chance of the game, but that was our, quite literally, other than the free kick, that was literally our only chance of the game.
Unbelievable. Could have snuck it there. And I think it's a bit of an indictment on the pattern of play, which we've talked about for about 2 years now, Joe, that as you were describing Judge and Norwood, I'm just thinking, well, they're just two incredibly straightforward. Norwood's incredibly direct, and so is Judge, and go figure that they're going to have an impact, aren't they? Edmondson comes on for Sowerby. And then just at the end, Joe, this is so poor because Judge gets booked for simulation. And I think referee Drysdale wants to be Pierluigi Collina here, and he's sort of getting up in his face. And I just don't know what happened between the Ipswich players and the ref at the end, because then Flynn Downes goes in for this tackle and has obviously just mouthed off at him. And it's yet another red card. It'll only be a one-match ban because it was two yellows. But was it
two yellows? Because I don't remember being booked early in the game.
It seemed to be a yellow for the tackle.
Then a straight red, though.
I don't know. We're getting into minutiae. Did he go like that? And then like that, he didn't make
the replay. He did the yellow, and then he did the red. But I don't think he'd been booked beforehand, so I think that might be a yellow, then a straight red.
If you're right, and it is a yellow, then a straight red, then he'll be banned for three matches. But I don't know. Can you be banned for? Can you get a straight red for mouthing off? I don't know. I'll have to read my law book. But Joe, what went with the discipline at the end with Judge and Downes?
Well, as a team, we do not have any discipline, and we haven't done for a long time. I think in League One last year, we were second or third for the most bookings in the team. And when you see that twat Taylor on the sidelines haranguing the ref and the fourth official and the linesman all game, Lambert's just as bad if he's got the energy to actually do anything rather than just stand there looking, pretending he's dying of COVID, then we don't really know what's going on. But like I said, there is no discipline in the team. Like I say, that tackle John Nolan put in on it a few weeks back, I know we're going back a while to Lincoln, and then Lambert comes out and says it's the ref's fault. We got sort of another red card, Teddy Bishop's stupid red card, Caden Jackson, a silly red. There's no discipline running through this club from top to bottom. And like I say, you only have to look at the manager's conduct on the sideline to say why.
Yeah, just on the other screen, Andre Dezel is actually the most booked it. He's got a yellow and a red. He's got nine yellows now. So yeah, it does seem to be, well, as you've just pointed out, I think someone's just, let me just read a couple of these. Says second yellow on flash score, looked like a yellow for the foul and then a yellow. We'll find out this. And you can get, apparently, I mean, if he's got a straight red, then it'll be three games and he's sat in that position. But the discipline has totally gone. Let's just have a look at some of the numbers on the actual game, Joe. I mean, let's just ignore possession, because I think this fad from about 10 years ago has gone, and plenty of teams aren't bothered about having 41% possession. One shot on target in the 90 minutes, which was the Norwood one, which, to be fair, we probably should go down as a big chance on there, but just nothing really in any of those numbers, Joe, to say that that's a viable performance. And one needs to remember, if I scroll the table there, who it is against. So, Joe, just react to the one shot on target stat and just have a look at that league table for me and just kind of put together your thoughts. 4 points off the playoffs and we'll be told a game in hand again.
It's, well, like I say, one shot on target. What can you say against probably one of the worst teams in the league? Look, Northampton have scored 20 goals this season and they looked like they were going to score every time they went forward against us at one point. And I say, I don't really know what to say. I've said the same thing a number of times, but there is no way that any supporter of any football club can watch that game tonight and claim that Lambert's building anything, that he's getting right, that he's doing this, that he's doing that. He's a man totally lost. The players are totally lost. And he is, he's just dragging everyone down to a certain level. And I say, I find it incredibly difficult to judge almost any player out there because of the situation they clearly find themselves in. These are not bad players. Like Troy Parrott, for example. Like, I'm sort of loathe to criticise sort of players, young players, but he was dreadful tonight. But he wasn't. He was good against Blackpool, and he looked sharp against Peterborough. And it's like, how does he go from that to this? And Luke Thomas just looks like, I say, he's no better than Armando Dobra or Jack Lancaster. I don't know why we've signed him. Luke Wolfenden was poor. Mark McGuinness made so many errors on the ball. I thought Luke Matheson, I thought he did okay, Luke Matheson, actually, out of sort of all the players there. Josh Harrop, again, this guy, Preston fans are telling us he's going to rip up the league and his quality. He's having to drop back so deep to get on the ball. He's sitting almost between the centre-backs at times. I thought Dazelle did okay going forwards. I thought Downs, like I say, he was okay to be, but no one plays well. No player's been coached to be better than they are. We just drag players down. Like, what is going on the training ground other than
Joe? Just quickly,
other than flares.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Tell me, what's the difference between, so switch out Judge for Harrop. It was acknowledged in the Blackpool game, which was one player different, but pretty much the same system against, arguably, if we bring that league table up, a team that's, well, nine places higher if you class Northampton as starting the day at 23rd. What was the difference between this game and the Blackpool game, Joe?
I think the Blackpool game, I thought it was quite an even game until we scored the goal. Basically, when we scored the goal, they had to come out a little bit more, which gave us a little bit more space to go into. I think people have over-egged that Blackpool performance. Personally, I thought that was a game where we just got a goal at a good time, got a second goal at a good time.
A bit of quality and then a set play as well, wasn't it, Joe? So it wasn't a pattern of play battering the door down, was it?
But it was an even game where both teams were creating the odd chance, but we took our half chance where they didn't. But like I say, I think, what's that, 5 wins in 18 now, I think? Or was it 5 and 17, 5 and 18 in all competitions? And it's just so far from good enough. Like, there's just no defending the sort of form we're in at the moment. If it wasn't for the sort of 16 points from 6 games at the end, at the start of the season, we'd be where? 16th, 17th in the league?
Well, let me just, I'll flip up who scored, because we can look at how far back this recent run goes. So that's what you're talking about there, Joe. So if we go back to 24th of November there against Hull, 1, 2, 3, 4 wins in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So 4 wins in 14, and there is another 1, 2, 3 draws in that. So yeah, 15 points in 14. We'd normally call 1 point per game survival, wouldn't we? So this idea of a playoff challenge just seems completely fanciful. Just have a look at we'll come to comments. We'll do some questions in a minute, guys. And looking at the next two games, Oxford are on an absolute tear, aren't they? And then Hull, Doncaster, and Accrington. Those next four games do not look particularly pleasant, Joe, do they? Oxford, Hull, Doncaster, Accrington.
But I think you're forgetting we've got an incredible record against the top sides in the league. So we'll sort of see where we go from there. But no, that, like, why? Like I say, I'm sure every person listening to this now is sort of saying Lambert has to go. That there's no way that he should stay. If anyone thinks that isn't the case, please drop it in the comments. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. But it's just, why are you not going to give just an attempt at a new manager bounce in these games that are coming up? There's just no possible reason not to go for it, because we cannot, any team that's set up well against us gives us a too tough a game for the quality of players we have. You just have to look at the players that weren't even in the 18 tonight. John Nolan, Caden Jackson, Gwion Edwards, G- going back to sort of Cole Skuos, I say it's just some serious quality players that Northampton would kill for to be in their team, let alone even on their bench. Can't even get near the team here. Emir Hughes, another one, and it's just it's embarrassing how little we're getting out of what we've got.
Yeah. Rod says Villa fan here, feel terrible for you lot. Lamberted. Is that a can we get that in the dictionary? Joe, this is Johnny. Are we fully toxic now? Red cards, delusional manager, quiet owner, fans turning up at training with flares, commentator calling manager to go. Can you parlay that a little bit into talking about the training ground protest?
Yeah, well, obviously, like everyone, I'm sure listening, saw the Blue Action video of the guys making what was relatively a small protest over at the training ground. I was pretty... I say you listen to Stuart Taylor, oh, brilliant support. It's like, is he forgetting that we clapped this team to relegation? We had 20,000 average attendance in League One. We sold out basically every away end last season. They have had far too much support compared to what they've earned. And like I say, brilliantly, it's now been picked up by the national media. Talk Sport today, Darren Bent was talking about it with Ali McCoy, Natalie Sawyer, Jim White and Simon Jordan were talking about it. It's sort of being picked up on Sky News. So that small protest has made a big difference. Whether it's because the club have claimed that they're trying to set the training ground on fire, I don't know. But I say the footpath they protested down is probably 200 yards out my front door. So maybe I'll go and have a look to see whether sort of the damage that's been done is incredible. But ultimately, we're in a situation now where there's no real way of letting Marcus Evans know what the issues are with the club. You can't boo in the ground. Imagine the sort of reception we'd have got at half time tonight and at full time at the end of that game.
What do you think the attendance would have been tonight? I know it's impossible to say because I tend to agree with you, Joe, that I don't think it would have been allowed to go this far if fans were in stadiums. I know we kind of always refer to ourselves as a placid lot, but do you agree with me that it wouldn't have gone this far with fans in? Where do you think the attendances would be if it was the case now?
If fans were there, there's no way it would have gone this far. I'm 100% sure that if fans were in the ground, Evans would have reacted to the mood music far earlier than he has done. So, but you're talking, you'd be one of those games where it's sort of like 13,500 and you find out there's really only 9,000 in the ground. It'd be that sort of level. But it's just, like I say, how are we going to try and sell season tickets at this point? But
I'm just going to read Jordan's one there. Printing websites have started a fire line, whereas podcasts, talk media, Twitter are talking about how bad the situation at the club. I just wanted to keep your questions coming in, guys. We'll stay on as long as they're coming. Joe, we got our pants pulled down a little bit by the national media after the McCarthy thing. And even to this day, like years afterwards, this idea that you literally hear people using the term the fans hounded McCarthy out and all of this, it did exist in the national media. Is there not any part of you that's a little bit concerned now that like you say, this will get switched and those horrible Ipswich fans now bullying long COVID Paul Lambert and starting fires?
I don't think firstly that Paul Lambert has respect in the game that Mick McCarthy does. I don't think he's as good as his own PR as Mick McCarthy was, and I just don't think that he's popular enough for people to care that. And also the record is so bad that it's difficult to justify the sort of be careful what you wish for line. And I know that line does haunt Ipswich fans and sort of Mick McCarthy, but ultimately, if you look at the sort of brass tacks of things with regards to what McCarthy was doing here, he was taking a team with minimal investment and basically all seasons, bar the one where he had to sell Daryl Murphy effectively on deadline day, we finished in the top half of the championship on probably a bottom third budget. So he was getting the results which were better than sort of what he was expecting. I'd sort of personally in the camp where I think that his time had gone on too long. I think most fans realise that, whether it's because of how Evans managed him as opposed to how Mick was, sort of is up for debate. But also everyone at the club and everyone in the game liked Mick McCarthy, and he was able to, and he got results. He did his job. Paul Lambert isn't doing his job. People don't like him. People at the club don't like him. And
you talk about that, Joe? Because Darren Bent's gone on TalkSport today and actually defended the Ipswich fans. Nice for someone to not be saying that we're the most evil people in the world that hounded out blessed old Mick, who's a fine gentleman, I'm sure, and a good manager. But will that cut any mustard? This and you've also got the wife of an ex-Ipswich player on the same show, sort of egging him on. Essentially, do you think that can change, Joe?
I just don't think that there's any way back from here for Lambert. With regard, like, he's burned too many bridges, and like I say, I'm without sort of trying to speak out of turn. Ipswich is quite a small town, and if you like, it's quite easy to speak to someone who is involved at the club, who knows someone who's involved at the club, and everyone you speak to will give you the same message. No one likes the manager, and I'm talking from academy staff all the way up, players, youth players, reserve players, sort of club staff. You will not find anyone who's got a good word to say about the manager. He's just...
What about Stuart Taylor and Marcus Evans?
Well, Stuart Taylor would, and like I say, it seems Marcus Evans would, but...
But Joe, just quickly, Stuart Taylor, isn't that because he's directly his boss, and Marcus Evans because he's got a load of money tied up in that big, huge contract?
Well, I think people are making too big a deal of the money in the contract. I personally think it's more of a pride thing for Evans than a financial thing. I think he wants it to work. It's like he set out this plan and he won't deviate from it, because in 5 years' time, this is where we want to be. And it's like, this isn't a 5-year project. This is a 5-month project to try and get the club promoted. And nobody watching that tonight, or watching last week, the week before, the week before that, the week before that, the week before that, will tell you that Paul Lambert is going to get this team promoted. He's been backed with 4 more players for in the January transfer window. And where are we? All the players are back from injury now. Where are we? It's just, I say, it's... There's nothing. There's just nothing you can do. Is there? It's until the manager's gone, we're dead as a club, aren't we?
Cardiff have just taken the lead against Luton. just to rub salt into
who scored? Kiefer Moore,
Harry Wilson. There you go. This is Chris, who's got his predictions machine whirring again. There, Joe. 85% chance we won't make the playoffs now, according to Club Sport stats. Probability of promotion is 4.5%. Joe, my very basic points per game has it at 70, but does not take into account the remaining teams we have to play. That essentially, we're at 2 points per game against the bottom 10 and 0 points per game against the top 8. Is there literally, after these 4 games, any chance of a... Let me paint you a scenario that... That he gets 5 points from the 4 hard games. So he draws 2 somehow, wins one of the home games maybe, and loses one. Any chance at all?
No, there's zero chance we're going to get in the playoffs with Paul Lambert here. If you can't beat Swindon at home, if you can't beat Northampton at home, and also you can't get anything against the top teams, you haven't got a hope. And like I say, while that chance at the moment is 4.5%, like I say, you've got to win some games, effectively. If you win 4 or 5 games in a row, that 4.5% might become 15%, might become 20%. And that's what you've got to do. We've got to have a run. We won 5 of the first 6 games of the season. We've won about 5 games since then. If we were to win 5 of the next 6 and 5 of the 6 after that, we might, like I say, we'll be right up there and pushing for 6th. But ultimately, like I said, we've been saying the same thing for weeks and weeks, and all these games are being wasted at the moment. And so, like I say, we're all massive fans, and like I say, we want to see the club in the second tier at the very minimum, isn't it? And what do you do?
Well, what you do is you keep your comments coming in. I'm assuming we're going to get we're going to hear from Paul Lambert. So if anyone can get us quotes.
Yeah, Paul Lambert's spoken, and apparently the first thing he said, it wasn't good enough, is his opening line. So he has faced the press. But I've just been sent something. I'm getting messages coming through. The form table for the last 20 games, 17th place, 24 points in 20 games, scored 17 goals. No other team above us has scored less than 17 goals. The 16 teams above us in the form table. There's no logical reason to keep them in place, is there?
Can we just ask anyone in the chat? We don't want this to become a big echo chamber. We do want everyone to have their opinions. If there is anybody in the chat, and it's not, you know, you're not under any danger of recriminations. We do seem to be at about 99% disapproval. Can we have a disapproval record rather than what they do for the politicians? Approval ratings.
1% in favour, 99% out of favour.
Okay, let's do
minus 98.
Let's do a quick poll then. Let's get a live Blue Monday approval rating for Mr. Lambert. Just write the word either in or out, and we'll kind of do an approval rating. So if you're in the chat right now, just say in or out in terms of an approval rating for Mr. Lambert. My God, can you see those comments, Joe? As you can imagine, we're oh my God. I literally can't even click on all of these guys. We've got many, many people. Oh, right, I'll try. Here we go. Right, come on. I'll try and do it. This is our apologies if you're offended by any of the profane language that I may accidentally click on.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You win. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It just feels a bit weird because normally, Joe, in these situations, for it to kind of play out like this, you're not normally at this 99% business, are you, Joe?
No, I think it's just unbelievable how far it's been allowed to go, I think is the key. It's that generally sort of people think they're more willing to give them a chance, that they don't want to say out until it's totally gone. And I understand that. I think people
give
managers a chance. But ultimately, we're well past that point now. It's not even close to that point anymore, is it? It's not even – there's not one reason for him to stay now, is there? Like I say, we beat Blackpool sort of 3 games ago. Blackpool, who are 14th in the league, and we beat them 2-0 at home. There's not even every metric you look at, goals, wins, points over any. If you take out that first six games of the season, we're a lower mid-table side. Whether you do that over, you could probably do a form table, 6 games, 8 games, 10 games, 12 games, 16 games, 20 games, whichever measure you do it at, we are well down there. Like I say, you've got to remember we picked up 16 points in 6 games, but it's, I say, I think, like I say, I maybe was a bit less willing than some, but ultimately,
Joe, I've just randomly gone from November the 1st, just a random. Yeah. Sample 17. Size there, 17th. Let me go back a bit Wigan. Further.
We're 1 point ahead of Wigan in that time.
There's October the 1st, 16th. Yeah, you're right. How far back can you go, for goodness sake? Hang on, let me do one more.
September probably all right, because we did okay.
September then. The 25th, 14th. So yeah, you're right. September, here we go. My God, wow. Yeah, right. Let's get back to your question, guys. Keep them coming. Martin, do you honestly think that Paul Cook would still take the job? He has the personality to turn it round. Joe and I actually disagree on this, Martin, and we have done all season, where I don't think he ever would have been interesting. But Joe, you always make the argument that if you're a Paul Cook or someone of that nature, the best job you can get is a parachute payment job in the Championship. The next best thing you can get in a Championship is a big Championship job, isn't it? And you don't believe there's then much difference. You may as well have a run at a big League One club than take, and again, this is with respect, QPR, Rotherham, Coventry, but I'm just thinking of a bottom eight Championship team that isn't in chaos, Joe.
I think clubs have natural ceilings and natural floors, and I think we're probably at our natural floor with regards to the fact, for all the criticism of Evans, he does sort of fund the team, he does back the manager, as he did again in January. And it's like I say, I just think that, like, personally, Paul Cook's not the man for me. I wouldn't be unhappy with him. I'd be happy with sort of anyone at the moment. Paul O'Grady would do the job at the moment. I think,
they don't have to be called Paul.
I just think that when you look at the club, you know, like I say, we're criticising Evans now because he's given Lambert so long. That is, at the moment, a manager knows they're going to come in here, they're going to get a good go at this, and the owner's going to stay out of the way and he's going to back him. It's still an attractive job when you look at some of the other jobs available, where it's just, if you don't get it right, you're going to get sacked in 6 months, 9 months. That isn't the case here. You're allowed to fail here, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But I think that, like I say, you look at Paul Cook, I think he'd be interested. Danny Cowley. People even talk about Nigel Pearson. I personally don't think he'd drop this low. But like I say, it's still a good job. It's still a big club. We've still got 20,000 fans in League One last season.
Can I make a very direct comparison? The two most under pressure jobs in the Championship at the moment are probably Birmingham and Huddersfield. They're the two on the slide. Obviously, the Cowleys, you can rule out from Huddersfield because they were, you know, turfed out of there. But would you rather work for Marcus Evans, Ipswich, top of League One, or Trillion Asia, Birmingham, for example?
Yeah, especially when they've brought in Karanka, who's manager that's won promotion out of this league, and he's had, what, 6 months in the job so far, and he's under massive pressure. And they've, like I say, they're going to, 1 week they're going to close the academy, the next week they're saying they're going to invest into it. They got all that money for Jude Bellingham that saved them as a club last year. I said that they're going nowhere but down at the moment. We're at our lowest that we can fall to, unless Evans decides to let Lambert see out his 5-year contract. We can't get much worse than we are at the moment. Like I say, you look at the teams around us, and especially now that salary cap has been sort of kicked into the long grass. Like I say, we're a huge club at this level, a huge club with a huge fan base, a huge budget, a huge playing squad, a really good academy. And like I say, how many Cat 2 academies are there at this level? 4, 5? Like I say, there's no way we should be where we are now at the moment. And any manager should be licking their lips looking at this thinking, I don't have to do much to get this sorted out.
Jambo, I think that's a good question. How do you think our contracted players feel by I don't necessarily agree that loans are low quality, but I think it's a good point to make. What does this idea of this January Harrop, Thomas, Matheson, etc. splurge, what does that do to the existing players in terms of, you know, if Lambert is here more than, say, 5 to 10 games, Joe?
Well, it's difficult to know, isn't it? But I can't imagine any player at this point is happy to... I'd take Mr. Blobby at this point, let alone...
There he is, look. No, Noel Edmonds and Mr. Blobby, yeah?
But, yeah, I just... Like I said, there's just no... There's no real way that players can motivate themselves. We're now in a position where we've got a bomb squad, and I say John Nolan and Caden Jackson are basically sat in this squad.
Yeah, what's happened with Jackson then? Because his suspension's over, yeah?
Well, I was told that there's a bomb squad forming. John Nolan's been told he's not going to play for the club again.
What's a bomb squad?
Basically where Darren Bent ended up under Paul Lambert.
Right.
Basically players who don't train with the first team. They're not going to play for him. Apparently John Nolan's been told he's not going to play for the club again. And Caden Jackson was sent down to train with the under-23. So these are two players we had transfer offers on the table for in January and now are sort of bombed out by the manager. It's just, you can't keep this many professionals happy. Armando Dobra comes in, plays 3 or 4 games, and then is back with the under-23s, and he won't be seen again under Paul Lambert. And Luke Thomas has come in, and he's done no more than Armando Dobra did. Jack Lancaster's done a lot more than Luke Thomas has done. And it's not, like I say, it's not trying to dig out Thomas, but it's just a failure of the manager. He's just trying to bring in more and more and more players, and it's like the players need to lead something as opposed to the manager. They need to click with something and hope it goes better.
This is Karen. A whole generation of fans are being lost with dull and turgid football being played. A management team disrespecting fans. Never felt so disconnected with the club. Now, normally we kind of joke about football fans, Joe, that and I totally agree with Karen, that they will come back. But is she actually right? Is there real long-term damage in terms of the fan base being done with, you know, with this? It's basically, you can now track it back to if you work from the Hurst experiment onwards, is there sort of long-term collateral damage being done now in terms of fan base and people will check out and that status as a, you know, kind of a I don't know, a biggish club in the area and, you know, a top 30 club in England?
100%. I totally agree with what Karen's saying. It's just, there's no, like I say, it's like the club haven't realised that we're in a COVID pandemic, that the fans can't come to games, and that when we get to the other side of it, the only clubs that are going to come out of this well are the ones that have been smart, forward-thinking, engaged with the fans, sort of pushing the fans on. People aren't just going to come back because, oh, football's back, they're going to come back. Oh, yeah, because they came back to the games when there was 2,000 fans allowed. Yeah, but they'd be locked in the house for months and wanted to do something. But people are not going to be signing up to season tickets with Paul Lambert in charge. It's just not going to happen. And I say, I know a number of fans, like there's a comment there from Chris, he's just put it there, cancelled his season ticket, doesn't buy iFollow, followed Town home and away for years. It's just, and I could tell you dozens and dozens of people I know that are live in the town, sort of it's, not, like I say, I'm not saying they're the most 100% dedicated fans who will sit there and read TWTD every post and follow everything on Twitter, but these are people that go to every single game and they've all cancelled. And people don't buy the odd game when it comes to it. People either go or they don't. And like I say, I've told the club I won't be renewing my season ticket at the moment unless there's a big change. And you just worry that there's an attitude in the club that, oh yeah, we'll win a few games and everything will be okay. No, it won't be.
We've gone into this one a fair bit, Joe. This is senior style, which I like to think that I have. There's no doubt Marcus Evans is a successful businessman. We're discussing his business portfolio with his buddies. Would he be ashamed of ITFC? I think you nailed it on the pod a couple of years ago, that a lot of people say Marcus Evans is an idiot, Marcus Evans doesn't care, all of this stuff, and you said he's just hapless, he just doesn't get it, and he's and he's hapless. This is just the latest in a. And I always say this as well, Joe, is that he took over a championship club at the worst possible time for somebody who had that amount of money that he had to take, with FFP followed by the parachute payments being squeezed to 3 years. So you get that ginormous one in the first year. He then tried to play by the rules. I wonder whether he'd rather be in Mel Morris's position, like at Derby, who, you know, didn't try and, well, actually, no, I shouldn't say that online. Let me just pedal back from that statement. But at the Mel Morris position where he tried his utmost to, you know, not pull the belt in. But he is just hapless, isn't he, Joe?
He is. And it's hard to have much sympathy with him for that position, though, because he's...
Well, it's been 10 years.
Yeah, he's been a football club owner for 13 years now. It's
13,
not,
is it? Oh, Christ.
Yeah, he shouldn't... If he doesn't know what he's doing by now, he'll never know. Sorry.
Go on, Jack. We'll come to Jonathan's comment next.
Yeah, he's just makes poor decisions, and it's not the poor decisions, it's the purgatory that he leaves the fans in, and it's... We are left in purgatory at the moment. Every single one, every single player, every single fan will tell you that there's no way this is going to turn around from here. Managers just do not turn around from getting this far in the hole. And I say, here we are. We have to sit it out. And we're probably going to throw away the season sitting it out.
Rob there, we will come to Jonathan's comment. He's not learned from his past mistakes. That does seem to be the case. Or rather, Rob, He's doubled down, hasn't he? He has a habit of doing that. Emmy doesn't understand football. Never appointed a director of football. Well, remember, it has to be a good director of football as well. Sorry, Jonathan's comment, Joe, was Lambert. Are we in this silly position now where there's obviously some promotion deal where Marcus Evans is perhaps okay to write off the season on the basis that if it is written into the contract, which we imagine it probably should be, that there's a break clause and he can sack him with less compensation. Is that a case of it being actually worth writing the season off to Marcus Evans financially if Jonathan's right there?
No. There's no way it's the right decision to make, because however, unless Lambert's got a 10 times accelerator in his contract where instead of getting paid off 2 million quid, he gets paid off 200 million quid. There's no way that staying in this league or not letting somebody at least assess the squad for the last 20 games of the season ahead of the summer. Because we've got 21 players out of contract in the summer. You need your new manager in as early as possible so that he first can have a go at trying to get up this season, and secondly, he can be the one that's making the decisions on the players in the summer.
This is Pete. It's a good question, that, Joe. When do you think is the latest a new manager could be appointed and still have a realistic shot at the playoffs? I'd like to do some research on that. Do you remember, who was it? It was Ian Dowie went in at Crystal Palace. To be fair, it wasn't late in the season, but they were like
Christmas.
Yeah, but they were 19th or something. Mm. And to be fair, he had Andrew Johnson, didn't he, in the championship, who got two penalties every game, didn't he? But that's a good question. If you are, I don't know, let me pull some numbers out my backside. 12 games to go and you're 7 points off. Could you still see a competent manager coming in, new broom, smiles on everybody's faces, simple instructions? Because let's be honest, our friend Mick has just gone into Cardiff, and you can kind of argue a similar situation whereby they're underachieving, they should do better. Just made it incredibly simple, win your duels, play with a smile on your face, keep some clean sheets, don't do anything stupid, and up the table they go.
Well, they'd lost six in a row, and they're going to pick up now 14 points in six games, aren't they?
Are we full-time in that? I think they have, actually, yeah.
But ultimately, you look at the stats that Chris Rand was putting in there earlier. We're now, it was 4.5% chance of going up. What was it, 15% of making the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it was 85% chance we won't. Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah,
we'll reverse what you said. Yeah.
Once that number slips below 10%, you're asking a huge, huge amount from a new manager to be able to turn that round, to give a manager a 1 in 10 chance of being able to get there is massive. At the moment, what is it? What's 15%? 1 in 8 chance? You're already getting to the position where you're nearly too late.
Frank is wavering. Is this the chap that rings up the radio every week?
Frank on Radio Suffolk. If anyone wants some entertainment, have a look on Frank's Vital Ipswich blogs, where he talks about the fans and the bad fans and the fake fans.
But don't do that right now. Stay with us here, because we're probably going to go another 10 minutes or so. Keep your questions coming in here. Please, if you are watching right now, we have, I think, like another 6 weeks of midweek games. So please do hit that subscribe button, because as we were asked earlier in the show, these only go out down the YouTube side of our Blue Monday platform. Obviously, the podcast will still go down the Acast feed. And of course, if you do want to support what we do, you can via Super Chat right this second now, which will guarantee your comment being read out immediately in great excitement, Joe. And via the Acast support facility. And I'm supposed to plug, if you go to our Twitter, you can collect your Terrace Life discount code for Ipswich Town merchandise through, is it Terrace Life, Joe, have I got that right? Richard told me.
I don't know. I can't commit to it.
To plug that. Go on our Twitter. Anyway, plug. Right, there was another question I wanted to read out here, Joe. This is Sean. Do we know if the club, stroke Evans, have started chatting to potential new managers? It does appear to be the Marcus Evans way, that the new manager is almost put in place before the current incumbent goes. If you remember the Paul Hurst thing, I can't remember which national paper it was got it first.
Paul Lambert, wasn't it? It was Alan Nixon at The Sun.
It was The Sun, right, okay.
Yeah.
But we literally got it within minutes of, I think the two announcements even came at the same time. Paul Hurst's been fired, they're going to hire Paul Lambert, and then the club had to go ahead. With what we know, you would imagine he would have chatted to people informally. We're not alleging any nefarious behaviour.
He's definitely chatted to new managers, formally or informally, 100%. And like I say, you only have to look on the TWT message board, where Phil Ham is maybe a bit looser with what he says there. Now he's banned, hates Paul Lambert, but he's confirmed it. But the names that we've heard, that have been spoken to, that I've heard, that Phil's heard, that other people have heard, Paul Cook, Danny Cowley, Neil Harris, Nigel Pearson. Whether that means it's going to be one of those four, whether there's other people on top of that, who knows? But those four have all been spoken to.
Tell me those four again.
Paul Cook, Joe, Danny Cowley.
We'll do another poll in the, who would you prefer? Cook, Cowley,
Pearson.
Pearson.
Harris. And Dyer.
Joe's going to put in Dyer as well. There you go. Let's do another straw poll there. Who would you prefer in the event that Paul Lambert does not finish the season? Let's be reasonable about this. So Paul Cook, Danny Cowley, getting the comments there. Nigel Pearson, Neil Harris, or Kieran Dyer.
I see that Bits would like Bielsa. It's lucky we.
I think we'd all like Bielsa, wouldn't we? For goodness sake.
It's lucky we weren't playing Leeds this week with that dangerous fire in the bushes there. We might have taken out one of his members of his coaching staff.
Oh, there it is, Joe. Did you have that one planned out? Sensational stuff. Right, let's just go through your. Actually, we'll wait. We'll wait. Robin, excellent commentary and analysis. Thank you, Robin. Currently, average Division One club. Ceiling for time being lower championship club. Issue is Evans. Lambert is symptom of a terrible leadership, but how can that change? Well, I agree. Do you know what, Joe? Keep your comments coming in on that who would you prefer question, by the way. I read the comments below the Darren Bent TalkSport thing, and a lot of people were getting fed up with Darren Bent's choice of wording of Ipswich shouldn't be in League One. They get very emotional about it. I think, obviously, what he meant was, given competent leadership a club with Ipswich's resources and stature would be, and let's be honest, we shouldn't have been top of the league for 13 years between 1969 and 1982. That was a point where a smaller club, outperformed itself. We're clearly currently underperforming itself. But to Robin's point there, when I look and see Barnsley, Rotherham, Preston, not necessarily putting out an amazing challenge. Barnsley possibly could in the next few years. There's no reason why Ipswich shouldn't be a viable, disruptive influence in the Championship, Joe.
And we were for the last, well, for 5 years under Mick McCarthy, weren't we? We were. And I know the form is sort of, the style of football isn't what people enjoyed by the end of it. But like I say, I haven't enjoyed many seasons more than I have 2014-15 in the last, 20 years probably, since Joe Royal left the club. When you look at, like I say, you look at all those big London away days, Watford, Fulham, Brentford, we went to all those places, Millwall, Charlton, we won at all those places that year. And that was a brilliant season. But I say, there's Marcus Evans is the reason why we can't compete in the Championship, personally, for me. But the reason we aren't competing in League One is Paul Lambert, not Marcus Evans. I say, you look at the business we did in January, the four players we signed in, and it's like, what other clubs in this league, what other mid-table clubs in this league, because that's what we are, were able to bring in players like we were?
Absolutely. So I'm just scrolling down these. Joe, when you say Marcus Evans is the reason we can't compete in the Championship, you're saying Marcus Evans' kind of business practice, right? Because I look at it and I think the reason people struggle to compete in the Championship now is FFP and parachutes, yeah, and the massive advantage. But your Brentford, Bristol City, Preston model of recruit, sell, improve, recruit, sell, improve. And also, you get a Championship player through in the academy that you sell on to either a parachute team or a Premier League team. Is that your contention there, Joe? It's the inability to spin the wheel in terms of the recruitment where we're up there.
Yeah, I think the problem was we were a team in the Championship that were effectively a sort of a mid-table, sort of lower mid-table team, hoping for a perfect storm. The perfect storm came and we got into the playoffs, but then we lost. And you're looking for a miracle season, effectively. Huddersfield had that miracle season. They've got promoted.
Only Huddersfield, isn't it? Without a huge sale beforehand. Yeah.
So you look at a team like Brentford, for example, and they run themselves so much smarter than we do, and they're still...
That's 5 years of good practice as well, Joe. That's 5 years of selling players for top money to get to where they've got to. Carry on, sorry.
And top money is 25 million, not 10 million. It's 25 million, and they're still not... They're by no means a guarantee to go up this season. I think they might do this year, but last year I thought they would, and they'd ended up that way. But just Rich from the pod has been texting us Lambert's quote, so I'll just
come
out. Wasn't good enough, not good enough for a few weeks. We're having a hard time. I couldn't ask any more effort from a young team. Learning curve for them. Pressure of a big club. Never tested the keeper until Norse. Should have had a penalty. Looked a nervy one. Whether yesterday affected it, I don't know. Don't know if yesterday was real Ipswich fans. I've seen all this before. Played for Celtic 8 to 9 years. Everything scrutinised. I get why they're hurting 100%. This is an accumulation of lots of years. I've seen the fight. I couldn't ask for any more. Flynn Down shows that he has a devilment in him.
Has he praised Downs?
Apparently, so this is what Rich is sending through. Brenner said, do you deserve a chance to continue with your record? And he said he needs a bit of help and he won't walk away.
What's four loan signings in January, if not a idea? Yeah. Look, I've said this many times, Joe. If I was Paul Lambert getting paid a ton of money and failing, I'd say exactly the same things that he said in the press conference. And to be fair, I'd probably be a massive wimp and try and avoid them at the same time. But you don't really get those empty sort of platitudes don't really cut cut anything when the evidence from what's been on the pitch has been so terrible, right?
Yeah, and it's just, like I say, it's like I say, he's obviously a proud professional and he's obviously hurting, but he's failing, isn't he? And like I say, after it's very, very similar to the end of the Paul Jewell reign here, where he just was a broken man and he just could not turn it around. And no matter what he tried, everything he tried, it seemed to get worse and worse, doesn't it? But like I say, I think it's one of those ones where mutual consent is crying out. He needs to be sacked for his own seemingly health, it seems, like not just his sort of COVID, but his mental health. It's not enjoyable watching a man struggle.
But Joe,
as
this
badly
is
as he is in this job.
Yeah, this is it for him though, isn't it? Who's hiring him after this one?
Borussia Dortmund. No, they just got the Mönchengladbach manager yesterday, so it won't be them. No, but seriously, Joe.
Who's hiring him after this one, especially on the money we suspect he's currently getting?
Well, like I say, I just can't imagine he's going to have the hunger to go and work at the level that he's going to find himself at, because whilst we're a League One team, we're by all accounts paying him sort of over £500,000 a year. The average wage in this league for managers, stuff like £140,000 a year, has he got the drive and the hunger to relocate, because he lives in Ipswich now, has he got the drive and the hunger to relocate to earn a tenth of what he's earning now? Maybe he'll go back to Scotland and manage a team up there, but I'd imagine he's going to probably go into the media after this. BBC Scotland, sort of Borussia Dortmund.
There you go.
Borussia Dortmund fan zone, I don't know, on there. But like I say, I'm not trying to take delight in his demise, but ultimately he's done at this level, isn't he? He's not, like I say, before he came here, he got a job in the Premier League. It wasn't that
long. He was at Stoke, yeah.
The Premier League at Stoke and failed there.
But Joe, of course, he was there for such a short time in such similar circumstances that he's quite well thought of, because he did the whole PR pool thing in a similar way that, you know, he did such a good PR job initially here. Right. We've got an hour up here. And before Joe downs any more beer and depresses himself anymore, there you go. I think Ben sums it up. To be fair to him, he's a good talker. He is a good talker. Media would love his monotone voice. Be in sports with Keys and Gray. Absolutely. I think that's quite a good payday. Quick summary then, Joe. Could have been out of sight by half time, but could have won it with Norwood's chance and then ill discipline at the end and another red card. Your quick summary of tonight's action.
Northampton came here massively out of form. They were the better team. We may have nicked it at the end, but if we did, it would have been thoroughly undeserved, and I think it would have papered over some cracks. Hopefully this wakes Marcus Evans up to the fact that we're not going up under Paul Lambert, and he makes his decision, and we look on Twitter in the morning and we see a corner flag on the Ipswich Town newsfeed.
Thank you, Joe. Well done for sitting through another 90 minutes of ineptitude.
Better than the 90 minutes of the game. Oh, sorry. Well, I've enjoyed the pod more than the game.
Well, absolutely. There's Chris with a little nod to our great co-founder David Diamond there with a nice crap. I'll give you one before we go off air. Thank you everybody for hanging around deep into the night. It's 10 o'clock now, so we will bid you farewell. Before you go, hit the like button on this video and please subscribe on YouTube. We will be podcasting at the weekends. And we will be pretty much live now each Tuesday for the next 6 weeks. So it'll be 9 o'clock sort of time. I think they're all 7 o'clock kickoffs as well. So please make this your regular haunt. And we're so pleased that so many of you have chosen to tonight. And we've got so many brilliant comments here. Perhaps the landscape may be different in 3 or 4 Tuesdays' time, Joe, especially given that tricky 4-game run. If you haven't already, please sign up and subscribe to the podcast on Acast, iTunes, etc., etc. Joe, final thoughts before we go.
You mentioned it earlier, but look on the Twitter because we've got free shipping on the Terrace stuff until midnight tomorrow. And they do some great stuff. But final thoughts are, I just hope that the next time I'm on this pod, I'm talking about a new manager other than Paul Lambert.
taking the same questions from me for that.
Yeah, thanks for everyone for the comments. Been great interacting with you guys tonight. Really enjoyed it.
Are you ready for it? I see the problem is we've got young kids that side. I'll do one anyway. Thank you, everybody, for listening. It was Ipswich Town 0, Northampton 0. Crack!
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.